Who art thou? I believe in God, the Father Almighty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Jesuits at Milwaukee's Marquette University have started gender-neutral bathrooms. But the Jesuit in Rome has them beat when it comes to gender questions. He's really neutral. He recently proclaimed a gender-neutral God. God is father and mother, he told his favorite atheist journalist, an apostate Catholic. And then he thought for a moment and he added, more mother than father. A bizarre sort of transgender deity, which is common now to liberals, women's libbers, remember them from the 80s, and of course, liberation theology. This God the Mother business is the latest, but ultimately it has its roots in ancient paganism, including the occult element of Judaism, the Kabbalah. The Jews, in today's gospel, send priests and Levites to ask John, who art thou? Who art thou? Identity is the issue today. Had John been alive today, do you think he would say, well, I self-identify as a voice in the wilderness, and you will please address me that way? Oh, and by the way, these are my bathroom requirements. Because today, you can decide for yourself. Declare it so, and so it is. The Novus Ordo last week told the Jews to rest secure in their self-identity, a true example of it, as Jews, that they're the same as the Old Testament Jews and their old covenant is still valid for them. No need for them to be baptized to be saved. And Catholics were told by the Vatican to pipe down. No more of this voice in the wilderness business for the conversion of Jews. This is yet one more open heresy against the clear teaching of sacred scripture, the unanimous teaching of the fathers of the church. And nobody says anything anymore. Almighty God can do all things. That's the one adjective, Almighty, which is given to our Lord in the Creed, which is why preachers will often say the phrase, Almighty God. But even in his omnipotence, there is one thing God cannot do. He cannot contradict himself. Even God cannot make a circle a square at the same time. He cannot reveal a truth which is also a heresy any more than he could deceive or be deceived, which is repugnant to the veracity, to the sanctity of God. He can do all things. He is almighty. Contradictions alone are impossible to him. Who art thou really is the question of the day, which takes us away from identity politics, gender agenda, and back to the catechism. If we knew who God is, why then we would know as well who we are and what we should be and what we must do to save our souls. And that is why we study the Catechism. I found an excellent summary in the Catechism published by Saint Pius X a century ago. How do we know that there is a God? Review from last week. We know that there is a God because reason proves it and faith confirms it. Now, why do we call God Father? We call God Father because, first, by nature, he is Father of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, that is to say, of the Son, eternally begotten of him. Second, because God is the Father of all men, whom he has created and whom he preserves and governs. Thirdly, we call him Father because by grace he is the Father of all good Christians, who hence are called adopted sons of God. And why is the Father the first person of the Blessed Trinity? The Father is the first person of the Blessed Trinity because he does not proceed from any other person, but is the principle of the other two, that is to say, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And what do we mean then by that word, omnipotent or almighty? By almighty, we mean that God can do all that he wills. But I think it might be good for us to concentrate on the Father part of today's catechism lesson. God the Father, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named. Now, the very concept of fatherhood in church, in society, in the family, is dying out, smothered today. Oh, in selfishness, effeminacy, immaturity, yes, but the gender agenda as well, even as it has long been the butt of jokes, laughed at in the media. It is very important that we understand it, or else we're part of the problem and not part of the solution. Like those who claim that an open heretic could be at the same time a holy father, a pope, or that it doesn't matter, it's just a question of opinion. This, too, is to destroy our faith, which rests on the firm rock of Peter. So, why can't we pray to God as a she? Why must it be a he? Why not God the Mother as well as God the Father? After all, God is God. He's a spirit. He's neither a man nor a woman, but the creator of both. Why then is he always referred to in the masculine gender? Why he and not she? Because he said so. And sometimes that's enough. As Sacred Scripture teaches in 2 Timothy, he, God, cannot deny himself. Father does know best. And he always has. He is God. Our Lord refers to God as Father at least 170 times in the Gospels, and never as Mother. This is not an arbitrary choice. It is God the Son revealing his Father to us. And this he does in a way we could understand. We do it then because it is divine revelation. End of the story. It is, of course, a comparison, an analogy between the finite and the infinite. The word Father, though, remember, means what? To father means to beget, to make oneself the founder, the producer, the author, the head. And if God wants to be understood by us as a father, then this is how we should speak of him. To do otherwise would be tantamount to idolatry, fashioning a god for ourselves in our own image. And there's enough of that today. Listen to the great apologist and author of the last century, C.S. Lewis. He wrote, "But Christians think that God himself has taught us how to speak of him. To say that it does not matter is to say either that all the masculine imagery is not inspired, is merely human in origin, or else that although inspired, it is quite arbitrary and unessential. And this is surely intolerable. If tolerable, it is an argument not in favor of women priests, but against Christianity. Look at where you end up if you start referring to God as a mother. You would perhaps be drawn into a Mormon cosmology. If there's a mother, well, then there has to be a father. There's no mother without a father. But Almighty God can do all things. He brings all things into existence out of nothing. To do so then would call into question, referring to God as a mother, I mean, would call into question God's aseity. Quiz. Who remembers from last week that word? Aseity, ase, from or by himself. God is not dependent on, nor has he need of any other being. He is not part of the universe, nor is the universe part of him. He created the universe from nothing. He enters creation from outside. Now, who refers to God as mother? I mean, in addition to the inclusive language people and now the gender agenda folk. Why, pagans do. Pantheists. Polytheists. We looked at them a little bit last Sunday. They make their god or gods part of or identical with the created order. God is you, and God is me, and God is today's sunrise, and I hear God in the voice of a child, and so forth, which is all nonsense. The true God is other. He is transcendent. He is the author, and not the book. Transcendent, and not a trans, or a tranny, or something else trendy. He is the source of creation. He is the eternal origin of the Son and the Holy Ghost with no beginning. And he is the Father in time of the Son made man, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, who gave us his mother to be ours. And this is where motherhood comes in, so that man may truly be an adopted child of God, the eternal Father, to share in the sonship of Jesus Christ. We do not have a God the Mother. We have the Blessed Mother of God, the Virgin Mary. And who could improve on God's plan? Who art thou? It is an important question. To get it right, we don't go on over to Disney World and its theology. We don't follow the gender agenda people, the Jesuits, and the identity folk. we turn to our catechism, to the unchanging faith it teaches us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.